Welcome as you join us from the Christian Revival Church, Rockingham.
Reminded of a little story. It was my first day of Hebron Bible College. So that was, I'm 61 years of age now, and I went to Hebron Bible College. It was 1992. I was 29 years of age. And there was a few of us just sitting there, like in a half moon circle like this. And the dean of the Bible College, his name was John Corran. And he was asking everyone, just straight up, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? And Pastor Carolyn, you'd probably know some of these people, and you know some of these guys, I won't mention their names, doing some good things in the ministry and that now. And some people say, oh, I want to be a pastor. And I was sitting right at the end of this half moon circle when the dean of the principal, he was grilling us. He was tough. You think Pastor Clive's tough? This guy, Bible College lecturer, he was tough. John Curran, you remember him, Linda? But I'm sitting at the end, I'm thinking, oh Lord, what am I going to say? I've just been through, you know, some financial, emotional relationships and all sorts. I was at probably one of the lowest points in my life. Always wanted to go to Bible college, but the time that I didn't want to go to Bible college, I felt God sent me to Bible college. It's like God, you know, just came and just, you know, shattered my thoughts and my plans. I just wanted to get married to Linda and, you know, get married, get a house and get on with life. And anyway, this one guy is saying, I want to be a pastor. Another guy, I want to be a missionary. Another one, oh, God's sending me, you know, to go here and to go there. And I thought, well, man, what am I going to say? And I just think, what am I going to make up? Am I going to say something? And then when it was my turn to speak, I just felt the Lord say to me, Nige, tell him you're here to trust me with 1 year of your life. And that was it. And when it came to me, my turn to speak, and I just said that. I just feel I'm here at Hebron Bible College because I believe God wants me to trust him with 1 year of my life. And I believe what the Lord is saying to us this morning, you know, and to you guys, God just simply wants us to trust him. He wants us to just simply trust him. Say, Lord, here I am. Things might not be going right. Things might not be smooth. I don't know what's happening in your lives. But just God is saying to us this morning, just to trust him. I'm going to be sharing a few things this morning. I'm going to be doing, you know, some breakthrough before I start speaking this morning. So look, we're just home. We're like family. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in the midst of us. There I am in the midst of them. God might be sitting next to you this morning, Chris. Jesus is sitting next to you. Okay? But where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Again, just before I do some, I want to say just talk, and again, in the area of trust, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about gratefulness and what the Lord has done for Linda and myself. Each and every one of us, I know there's a story in your life. It's probably far greater. I don't know, but I'm just going to say, well, this is what, you know, the Lord has done for me. I'm just going to share a few little principles of, you know, what's happened to us in our ministry and things like that. When Linda and myself, when we first started out, probably, it was probably 1986, by the time we were, you know, it wasn't too long after that, you know, God started to use us and give us some buses and just hopefully this will work this morning. Hopefully, no, could we just... Turn the screen. Are we on? We're on. Turn the screen. Here we go. Try that again. But, you know, we used to, you know, have a bus ministry, and we had only had one guy that was supporting us. It was one of our friends, Pastor Joel Avery, little Italian guy, and he was the only one that was supporting us. But we had, you know, like buses coming in. The high school principal would give us buses to reach the kids. He'd actually even give us a driver. And, you know, because we're making a difference, you know, with the children these days, things are different. Chaplaincy and scripture in school, it's like a dinosaur. It's hardly non-existent. But, you know, 25 years ago, we could just go into auditoriums. We could go into gymnasiums, have the key. They didn't want any money. They were thankful for what they didn't like our methods, you know, but they liked the results, you know, come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Friday. So I had one guy come into my office, the head guy from the school, and he came in. And he just literally just threw my Bible. He goes, Nige, you're a great guy. Some of the things you're doing in the school are fantastic. There was one kid, his name was Jack Daniels. You can imagine his name was, well, I don't know what his real name was. Everyone used to call him Jack. His name was Jack, but everyone called him Jack Daniels. And, you know, he'd come and like a bowling ball, just, you know, come into the classes, barge his way through. But he'd come to some of our services, some of our camps, and they saw a difference in this child's life. It's not me. You know, but you know, the Lord Jesus can transform lives. So there's power in our words. I'm going to be speaking about that this morning. He's got my Bible off my desk and he just flicked it off. I wasn't born yesterday. I just let it go. There were a lot of things I wanted to do, a lot of things I wanted to say. But he goes, I like the results, but I don't like your methods. And he walked off. But God started to really use us. This was, you know, probably 25, 30 years ago or something. But what I want to share with you, there was one guy, a little Italian guy, used to support us. And one day, he invited us to Chinese in Alexander Heights. He goes, Nige, I want to have a little chat with you. Who's ever had one of those phone calls? Few honest people, you know. Nige, you want to have a little chat? And he took us out, you know, for this meal, wined us and dined us, sat us down. And then he says, Nigel, I'm sorry, mate, I just can't support you anymore. But he was the only guy that was supporting us with his tithes and an offerings. It wasn't much, but we only had one little bus back then. And before God blessed us and gave us other buses. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, what's going to happen? So one bus used to pay for the petrol, the insurance, and the small, you know, amount of money that I was making at Telstra. And Joe goes, sorry, Nigel, I can't support you anymore. So, oh, that's sad. What's going to happen now? Anyway, just thinking that. And as we left the restaurant, I went to pay the lady. Rebecca, she'd probably charge me double. But I went to pay the lady, the Chinese lady, you know. And I always get the same thing, sweet and sour pork, Chinese right, and bok choy. And but someone came in and she goes, oh, don't worry, the bill's been paid. And Joe goes, Nigel, did you prepay the bill? I says, no. And I said, oh, Joe, did you? Or he goes, no. And I came out. Joe went off down the road in his car. And I just, as I got in my car to drive home back to Linda, I thought, it's not a person that brings us our success. It's the Lord. And I felt God could say, Nigel, I can bring it from here. I can bring it from there. I can bring it from everywhere. That might not mean much to you, but that was the very first time that God started to bless us in areas of finances. And God removes sometimes the scaffolding in our life. And from there, you know, we've had, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, buildings, buses and that. But everything that's come in, you know, when God starts to use you, you know, as you know, it starts to go out very, very quickly. But again, it's in the area of trust. So if I do that, I wonder if we can change that, Rebecca. It's not working. But here we go. That was the first bus that we started off with. Sometimes it wouldn't start, Chris. Other times it wouldn't stop. All the kids would just love that pre-ignition, you know, on the bus. And then God gave us another bus and another bus and another bus and another bus. But I'll share a bit about that in a minute. But so here we go. But what I want to do this morning, I want to take some time, and I have done this before with some people, you know, before church, you know, we've shared this. This might not be for you, but this might be for some people here in the area of new beginnings and breakthroughs. You know, there's power in our words. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, he goes, I would prefer to trust in God for 2 minutes than to shout at him all night. That's what Smith Wigglesworth used to say. And then you get the other side, you know, of the coin. You get someone like Reinhard Bonnke. And God said to him one day before one of his big crusades, and he started to pray for this. You love Reinhard Bonnke, brother? Bring him. Just so do I. And, you know, God said to Reinhard one day, my words from my mouth are as powerful as your words in your mouth. And he goes, oh, Lord, I think this is heresy. And how is that okay? But God said to Reinhard one day, my words from my mouth are as powerful as your words in your mouth. And then the penny started to drop. But there's power in our words. In a minute, I'm going to be doing like some, you know, confessions and things like that. I had a picture of JJ up here with his soccer when it's gone. But I'm just leading into what I'm saying this morning. There was one time when JJ and Chanel first started dating. I'm not going to tell you any dating stories, don't worry. But there was one time, I remember JJ, Chanel just started dating JJ. He had a clean soccer sheet. They were winning. He was playing for a National Players League. And the first six games, they drew one and won five. They were beating Perth Glory and some of the top teams or some of the players from top dollars, you know, that they brought in. And JJ was playing for this National Players League team, beating some of the top teams, having a straight win, a straight run. Then all of a sudden, the coach, this guy missed a penalty. I think his name was Daniel with the blonde hair, the short blonde. He was Italian. He was probably as dark as me, but then he had blonde hair, you know. He thought he was some famous soccer player or something. But what happened was, He missed this penalty, and the coach just went off of him. Can you remember that, Chanel? In the middle of the whole stadium, it was a French guy, and he just started shouting at him, you know, oh, dangle. And I could see the guy's heart sunk. And what happened, if there's power in the natural, there's power in the spiritual with our words. I'm not a nab it, blab it, and grab it, you know, type of guy. But I do believe, you know, there's power in our words, what we speak, negative or positive. So I'm going to be doing a few things. I'm just going to share some of the things, you know, what I'm going to be doing this morning. Then we're going to stand up, you know, hold your, you know, your husband or your wife's hand, or, you know, stand up together, and we're going to be saying things. But I'm just going to just say, do a few things. But we know we're going to have an agreement together, but we're going to stand against the spirit of rejection, grief, being in debt, shame, reproach, negativity, setbacks, spiritual nakedness, you know, future financial famine, spiritual drought, you know, in our lives, in the church. We're going to pray against all forms of provocations and setups. We're going to revoke spells and curses and divinations and enchantments. You know, there's witches out there that don't want you to succeed. Sometimes there's an assignment against your lives. Sometimes there can be assignment against a locality or a church, because it's like the aphids. They come to attack. I love roses. I love gardening. But the aphids, what will happen? They'll come and they'll attack that new life, you know? So we're going to pray against some of these things. We're going to overturn any attacks from the second heaven, and the old underworld kingdom is going to stop us birthing into our new dimension from what God is going to do. You know, we're going to pray against any spirit of harassment, hostility, hatred, jealousy in our life. We're going to revoke and overturn curses and cycle that disadvantages us, our families, and the leaders. We're going to overturn any sentence of death and any death wish made against us or our families. You know, we're going to pray against anything that wants to put us in the last place. It is written, I am the head and not the tail. So I'm just priming the pump with you this morning before we start. We're going to terminate every weapon of lies, false accusations, misrepresentation, slander, rumor mongers, all satanic roadblocks that are placed in their way. All misunderstandings. I got a phone call yesterday, and, you know, just someone just totally misunderstood what I said, and he was upset, but it was spiritual. You know, we're going to decree, you know, vindication for ourselves, our family, leadership of this church. You know, we're going to secure the harvest of Rockingham CRC, and we're going to decree new beginnings. You like that, Steve? It's good? Okay, all right. He's going to go back and report to Pastor Clive. It's got to be. That's why he's here. Okay, but vengeance is mine. I will repay in full, says the Lord. Okay, who's ready to go? I'd like you to stand, but there's power in our words. As I said with JJ's soccer coach, one word changed the whole season. After that one word, the whole season just seemed to flourish. But today we can encourage each other. We can speak, and I'm going to be asking one of you two to come out and just to share. And I believe there's going to come breakthrough. You know, one word can change something in the natural. Can you believe, as we pray together, you know, that these words, as we agree together, can bind spiritual powers, and we can make a difference. Amen. Okay. Let's go. Here we go. Okay. Who's ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's say it like we mean it, guys. These aren't just words. We're speaking into the spiritual atmosphere. Amen. Okay, so stand with your wife, husband, child, neighbors, even girlfriend, boyfriend. You've been dating for 3 years, Jay. You can hold hands today. No, but there's power in agreement. You know, our words have power, and we're going to change in the spiritual atmosphere today. Amen. Okay, number one. Everyone say number one. Number one. Let's say this together. I stand against anything that wants to cripple my life, my marriage, my finances, my relationships, my health, my children's education, and the life of this church. Two, I stand against the spirit of rejection, grief, being in debt, shame, reproach, negativity, setbacks, spiritual nakedness, future and financial famine, spiritual drought in my life and this church. I pray against any spirit of harassment, hostility, hatred, and jealousy in my life. I revoke and overturn every curse and cycle that disadvantages my family and the leadership of this church. Steve, can you come and say the next two, please?
I overturn any sentence of death and any death wish made against me and my family. I pray against anything that wants to put me in the last place or last position. For it is written, I am the head and not the tail.
One more.
I terminate every weapon of lies, false accusation, misrepresentations, and slander, rumor mongers, and all satanic roadblocks placed in my way. I decree divine vindication for myself, my family, and the leadership of this church.
Thank you. Okay, may I please ask Pastor Carol, I want you to come and just do the next three. Would you mind, Pastor? Thank you. I want you to do that one again. Now, guys, let's speak it. Let's believe together with our sister. Let's speak it and believe it. Okay, let's speak it out and believe it. Okay, let's go, Pastor. Monet. Every weapon of lies, false accusations, misrepresentations, and slander, rumor mongers, all satanic roadblocks placed in my way. I decree divine indignation for myself, my family, and the leadership of this church. Pastor Karen, there's power in repetition. May I ask you to read that one again, please? Eliminate every weapon of lies, false accusations, misrepresentations, and slander, rumor mongers, and all satanic roadblocks placed in my way. I decree divine vindication for myself, my family, and the leadership of this church. Would you do two more, Pastor? I secure the harvest of Rockingham CRC. I decree a new beginning and release divine providences for myself and the leadership of this church. Hebrews 10:31 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay in full, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's just pray. Would you just pray a blessing that it's done by the blood of Jesus? Let's just pray a blessing over us this morning. Thank you. Done by the blood of Jesus, his word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let's just praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. You're good. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough this morning. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. Father, your word says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay in full. So, Father, anyone that's spoken evil against us, anyone that's spoken evil against us personally, Father, any rumor mongers, Lord, any misunderstandings, Father, that have come against us, our family, or our ministry, Father, we just stamp on them, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And Father, we decree new beginnings, Father, in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Father, and I think of that word, Father, when that man Ahithophel, he spoke, Lord, against King David. And Lord, your word says, but his words fell to the ground as nothing. And I just pray anyone that speaks against us, our ministry, our family, Father, anyone, Father, Lord, that there let there be those words be foolishness in the ears of the hearer, in Jesus' name. We just ask, let thy kingdom come in our lives, thy will be done, and Father, your truth and kingdom is established, Father, this day, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Give the Lord a clap, and we do that. Okay, just before I change tacks and I go into my message, I just want you to greet someone and just say hello, greet three or four people that you haven't met before. So, yeah, please go for it. Thank you, Lord.
Chris just felt really sick while he was doing that prayer, so he needs prayer.
All right, we'll pray for him afterwards. Yeah, we'll pray for him. Bring him in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's not rush this. This is important. Thank you, Lord. Just go back there. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Who felt something there? I know one person has hit them. They've just gone out and the Lord's just touched them. But we can pray for that guy in a minute. We'll pray for them. Thank you. I'd love you to share, Katie, what happened on Thursday night. But anyway, you can for another time. But that was quite powerful, you know, what happened. But we do wrestle against principalities and darkness. So it was quite interesting. Can we just go back, sister, and we'll go back. But today I just want to share quickly just a little bit about gratefulness and, you know, what the Lord has done in our lives. Who'll give me 20 minutes before morning tea? Yeah. Who'll give me 20 minutes? Yeah. 20, 40, 80, 100. Pastor, don't worry about lunch. Get ready for dinner tonight, all right? Okay, now as I said, you know, I'm a youth speaker. So, you know, after 20 minutes, if you haven't struck oil in 20 minutes, stop boring. So, amen. Now that's okay. But I'm going to read this scripture and just share a quick message about gratefulness. But I love the scripture, Proverbs 11:24. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Okay, so let's just pray. Father, I just commit, Father, these next, Father, 15, 20 minutes, Father, into your hands. Father, and I just pray that you would cement, Lord, these principles, Father, into our heart this morning. Father, I just pray, Lord, let these not just be words, but Father, spirit and life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about gratefulnesses, money, and that what the Lord has done for us. And things like that. I know a lot of us have heard many of these messages. We've traveled the globe. We've been to America, Asia, the islands of the sea. You know, we've heard, you know, offerings and, you know, that go on for 20 minutes, half an hour. But, you know, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's still a principle in the era of generosity and giving. And I felt the Lord, you know, show me something. I love geography. And here we have the Sea of Galilee. And the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. One is teeming with life, you know, with fish. There's cities built around it, you know, just boats, fishing industries, tourism, everything. Perth is actually 32 degrees south of the equator. Israel and Jerusalem is exactly 32 degrees north. It's quite interesting. But what I love about geography, one is teeming with life and abundance. And the other one, the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea, it's just, you know, dried up. You can, there's a photo, and see if this works here, if we can change the screen here. Let's go, it's not working. But like one, as I said, is, you know, the Dead Sea, and the other one is the Sea of Galilee, you know. So it's not working anyway, but we'll keep moving forward. Okay, so same geographical location, okay, but what I felt the Lord show us is one is flowing in. Everything is flowing in and nothing is coming out. Here, there's what's happening here in the Sea of Galilee, everything's flowing out. It's flowing into the Jordan. It's flowing out and all to these, you know, tributaries and things like that. But as the Sea of Galilee, as it gives out, it's been replenished. All the Dead Sea does is just gather, and nothing is flowing out. You know, there's a little saying, you know, the Irish Proverbs say, you know, when the hand ceases to scatter, the heart ceases to pray. I'll say that again. When the hand ceases to scatter, the heart ceases to pray. And that's an important principle. And it's great some people taking notes this morning. So if you were in my Sunday school class, you'd get a prize. Okay? But I want to say three times, you know, where, you know, tithes has worked in reverse in our lives. And there was three times, again, when we first started out. And there was three missionaries that sowed into our life. And one was a minister from Sydney. I just finished Bible college. I had nothing. You know, I just bought a house with Linda. I was living in it with five guys. And my very first wage packet, these days you go to Bible college, you get Aus Study and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And when I went to Bible college, we had to pay to go to Bible college and, you know, get a job at Macca's or somewhere garage and, you know, work as we went to Bible college. But I believe the caliber of, you know, students is different, you know, now, I believe, than it was, you know, just generally. But three times where missionaries have sowed into our life, and 10 times God gave us the tithe in reverse. So the very first time was, you know, as I said, I came out of Bible college. There was these children's ministers. It was at the Shiloh Faith Centre. and I had my yellow envelope, and we didn't get that pay. Remember those yellow envelopes there? And I had my first week's, my double week's wage packet after 1 year, just graduating Hebron Bible College. And it was in a yellow pocket. I just got it on the Friday night. I'm at this children's conference. We had these special children's speakers. Ken and Dorothy Gardner come all the way from, you know, Sydney. And I felt the Lord say, give it to those people. I said, Lord, I'm just about to get married. I need to, you know, get a house. You know, what's going on? I walked up to the stage. Walked up there on the stage and got my yellow envelope. And I put it in the pastor's hand. Okay? And I thought, oh, who's that? When someone gives an offering like that, that was a lot of money. It was $998 or $989 or something like that. It was 2 weeks' wage packet. And I thought, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? But anyway, I went home. The children's pastor rang me up and he goes, Nige, Ken and Dorothy Garner just rang me and they were crying. And crying, I don't know why. But what happened, it was the exact amount of money. They said, if you come to Perth, they lived in the snowy mountains and they bought themselves, you know, some heater or wood fire heater. Can you remember that, Linda? And it was the exact amount of money. And they said, you go to Perth, you bless the children and the youth out there, and I'll supply for your heater. So I didn't want to do that. But anyway, as I gave, you know, and what happened, it wasn't too long after that, that someone unexpectedly gave us $10,000, you know, and we paid off a house in 2 years. People say, how do you do it? I don't know. But within 2 years, we paid off a house, gone around America. But there was power in the area of that $1,000 seed, you know, that we sowed to these children's ministry. And I'll be honest, I got angry with God. God, I gave to the work of the ministry. I didn't give to some heater in the snowy mountains. But God rebuked me and said, Nigel, you gave to me. You didn't give to that heater, but we give to God. And if people use finances unjustly, God will deal with that man of God. But sometimes it was an attitude in my heart that God wanted to do. There was another pastor, you probably know this guy, Rod Waters. And when he first started out, and I'm saying this is going back 30 years ago, he had a little church in Joondalup. He did a little church plant there. And what happens, I gave him, you know, it was about $100. And I felt I should have given him $800. And I didn't do that. And then I gave him $80 and I felt really, really convicted. And then I gave him the $800, what God told me to give in the first place. And another time, wasn't too long after that, within, you know, about 2 or 3 days, again, someone just gave us, here, Nigel, here's $8,000. So twice, it was 10 times, you know, in reverse. So it was powerful. There was another time, there was a missionary. It happened like in the space of like about 3 or 4 weeks. And there's another guy, Mike Mullins. He was a missionary to the Philippines. And I gave him $200. And then he goes, Nigel, I've got something for you. Meet us here tonight. We went out again for Chinese. And again, he gave us $2,000. He said, Nige, I wish I gave more, but he goes, whatever Nige gives you, you're to give him 10 times more, you know. So I tried it again, but didn't work. It was only 3 times, you know, that forgive me. But anyway, I was young. But there was another time, I said, we had a little bus and then God blessed us with some other buses. So this was our very first bus. As I said, it used to start, then it used to stop, and then it started again. And right at the end of December, you know, it was the first bus we had. It was the only bus that we had. And right at the end, I dropped my last kid off, and the bus just died. We live at the top of this hill. And just at the top of the hill, just before the top of the hill, before I turned left down to R Street, the bus just died. I tried to start it and kickstart it. Then I'm getting out, was on a little hill. I'm going to give it a little push, get in it, see if it'll jumpstart it. It wouldn't jumpstart, but something happened to the motor. It just died. It just went to eternity. And anyway, we booked it in at the garage. This was the very last December when we used to run our children's ministry on a Friday night out of the Balga High School and Balga Boxing Club. Dropped our last kid off. The bus died. The bus just stopped, you know, out of nowhere. So we rolled the bus down the hill. And we always have, you know, probably half of December off. We finish around, you know, every year around December the 15th, 16th, somewhere around that. And we have a break January. We'd always, you know, go down south or do something. So anyway, I handed the bus to this mechanic, okay, a Vietnamese mechanic. He used to call me, Nigel, you pay money for the bus, you pay money. You know, I didn't have any money. But anyway, we dropped this bus off, you know, to Vin Vin's Motors, you know, down the road in Woongarra, just up the road from the CRC Church on Prindleville Drive. And, you know, as I'm dropping the bus off, he goes, "Oh, Nishul, the bus, you have money." Probably thinks I'm very, very poor because that bus, you know, it looked like it was, you know, had one foot in the grave and the other one, you know, it's on its way to eternity. But anyway, I said, "Look, you know, we need to fix up this bus." And he goes, "It's going to cost you about $4,270 or something like that." I've still got the receipts. I should have bought them this morning, but I've taken photos. And he goes, "You have money, Nishul, I fixed the bus, but it's going to cost money for the bus." I said, "Yeah, no worries." So anyway, we dropped the bus off to him, you know, end of December. And then what happened was, in January, we thought, "Oh, Lord, you know, we're going to start our ministry again. School's going to start early February." And what happened, it was, you know, probably mid-February. So we had a bill of about $4,500. We had this lady, you know, come knock on our door. And it was this lady, Sister Coralie. And, you know, she was a pensioner. And she goes, "Oh, Nigel, you've been on my heart lately. I've got something for you. So, you know, can you..." I said, "Oh, Linda, you know, bring out the best lasagna, you know, your best cutlery." You know, she knocks on the door. Linda sits down. She makes the lasagna without onions. And, you know, she makes the, you know, brings out the... It's got a best china. Who's anyone got something in their cupboard like china that's never ever used? You know, the cups, and that they just sit there gathering. Anyway, bought the best china out, sat down at the coffee table. And then she goes, "Oh, Nigel," at the end of morning tea, you know, she goes, "I've got something for you." And then she drives off down the street. And I thought, well, this lady, she knows the Lord. It's like, remember her, Jade? Every time she felt the anointing come upon her, you know, her finger would start to go like this. And poor JJ and my kids at Lantra and Gemma, you know, they'd be biting their hands, hiding under the table. Because every time she felt, I thought, this lady must know the Lord. The anointing comes upon her and her finger goes like this. Sister Coralie, lovely lady, faithful. Anyway, she goes, "I've got something for you." She drives off down the street. "Thank you, sister. Thank you." And as I open the envelope, there was $20 in the envelope. She's driving off, you know, God, $20. I was angry. $20, I'll be honest. I was really, really angry. I thought she was going to give us a bill for $4,570 or whatever the bill was. But it was $20. Anyway, 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, nothing happened. I get a call from the mechanic. Say, "Nigel, the bus is ready next week. You come pick up the bus. You take it out of my place." That's not Philippines. I can't do Philippines. That's my Vietnamese one. So I said, okay. But what happened? I started to worry then. This was probably about, you know, mid-January. And I start to worry. Well, Lord, we start, you know, the children's ministry up. We've got to pick up, you know, 100 kids or whatever. Lord, we need a bus. And, you know, we used to put kids in the back of cars. Things were a bit different then. And I thought, Lord, we need money for this bus. God help us. I started to worry, but what started to happen? There was a change in my heart over those next, you know, few days. For some, it was supernatural. I've got to say, this was supernatural. That $20 that I got from Sister Coralie, you know, with the prophetic finger, for some reason, I can't describe it, but it just became like, thanks. I started to become grateful for this $20. It was only $20. I can't describe it, but I honestly started to become thankful for this $20, you know? Something happened in my heart. I don't know what it was. But as I started to become thankful for this $20, there was another guy, he lives around here, he's a pastor, had nothing to do with our ministry. And he goes, "Nige, you know, I've got something for you." And then what happens? You know, he gave us $2,000, you know, for this, goes, "Nige, I've got something for you." And it was amazing. And then someone else, you know, came over and they gave us, you know, $200. I thought, this is weird, $20, $200, $2,000. But anyway, it started when I became thankful for this $20. Who's enjoying this message? I'm enjoying it myself. But, you know, so someone gave us $20, started to become thankful, $200, $2,000. Then what happens? That morning, Friday morning, guess who rings? Bring, bring, I'm in bed. Guess who was? Wasn't Sister God, it was the mechanic. "Nishul, the bus is ready. You come pick up the bus. You're ready. I need to get it out of my garage. You come get it out of the way. I can't have room for it." I got up, put my feet on the carpet, and I just said, "Lord Jesus, help." Again, Linda, bear witness to me as the Lord Jesus bears witness to me. As the mechanic rings up, say, "Nishul, get the bus out of my house." I pick up the phone for my big mobile phone. It was probably about that big. Pick up my mobile phone. Who was it? Sister Coralie with the prophetic finger. goes, oh, Nigel, you know, I've got something for you. You've been on my heart these last few weeks. I want to come over. Oh, Lord, what are you going to give, another $10 this time or 20 bucks? So she comes, knocks on the door. We sat down. Linda didn't make the best lasagna or bring out the best china this time. Sat down. Anyway, cutting a long story short, she goes, Nigel, you've been on my heart. And she goes, have you any needs? And I was a bit embarrassed to say. And Linda, my Italian wife, she'll tell you dollar, diamond, Deutschmark, what we need. And she just told her exactly what we needed. And I thought, oh, no, she's a pensioner. And right there and then, she pulls out her handbag and writes out a check for the balance, you know, of like $2,457. So I thank God for that. And I drove down to Vin Vin Mechanics down Printable Road, just up the road from CRC, just a victorious child of God. I got there, knocked on Mr. Vin's, and said, hello, how are you going? Nigel, you have money? You cannot pick up the bus unless you have the money. You pick up the bus. You got money. Mr. Vin, I just got the $20, the $200, the $2,000, and the balance of $2,004, and I just put it on the desk. Yes, I have the money. I got in the bus. I just drove back down Wanneroo Road, just a victorious child of God. The police actually picked me up this morning. I think they thought I was drunk, and I told them the story. You know, just let's go. But I thank God. You know, but what was the difference? The money was always there, but it was an attitude of gratefulness in my heart. And I was ungrateful. I was. I was disappointed with God. I was angry with God. I had a need. God, is this all I'm worth, $20? But see, God has our future in our hands. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes there's thing called timing. You know, I believe in circumstances, God's word to know the will of God. So God's circumstances, peace in your heart. And God's word, peace in your heart, and circumstances to know the will of God. But sometimes there's timing and that as well. And sometimes God wants to do something in our hearts before he takes us on, you know, to the next step of our dispensation of ministry. So we can get the... We lost it. Okay. But there's another time, just I'm coming to a close. But there was another time, again, we'd go to down, it was just down the road here in Rockingham, down at Hungry Jack's, and there's a little photo of us down here in the Hungry Jack's, and I just thought I'd put that up. And what happened was, I'd always teach my children how to tithe. Like, we'd go to Hungry Jack's, and, you know, JJ and my daughter Atlanta, they'd always give me first bite of their Whopper, or I'd count out 10 chips for them. You might think that's strange, but that's what I used to do, you know? Count out 10 chips to JJ, but JJ would give me the first chip, or the first bite. You know, one of my other kids didn't. We just did it before. But I've got to say, I honour JJ this morning. Forgive me, JJ. But you did that. And, you know, God has honoured JJ, I believe, in the areas of finances. I can't say too much, but I can see the difference, you know, in some of my children's lives too, that give and are grateful to God, and two that don't. So, but I always, you know, say, he'd give me the first bite, or I'd count out 10 chips as young kids, and he'd give me the first chip. Why are you laughing, Chanel? He should. But my dad, he's Anglo-Indian, he used to get so angry. Oh, son, how do you take food out of your old children's mouth? How can you do that to your kids? But I said, Dad, I'm teaching my children to give. See, they wouldn't get that Whopper. They wouldn't get those chips if it didn't come from my hand or my wallet. So everything, you know, came from me. But I teach the children how to give. So, you know, like Jonah, I'm just coming back to Jonah. You know, so when he was in the way, he was, you know, for 3 days, it was like he was in hell. But what was the change? When he started to offer up a spirit of thanksgiving, he offered up a spirit of thanksgiving. This is the next screen here. But, you know, he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And on the third day, only when he offered up a spirit of thanksgiving, God spewed him out of the mouth back on the shore. Then he had to travel all the way back to Nineveh to deliver. What was the key? It was gratefulness, you know. There was it, like Job. I don't want to give too many illustrations this morning, but there was Job. Only once he started to pray for his friends, then God started to bless him. It was like 40 chapters of Job. You know, the guy goes through heartache, grief, and disappointment. But again, Job, you know, and he starts to pray for his friends, and then God started to bless him. But it's an area of thanksgiving. Excuse me. But there's two people that did the offerings, you know, in the Bible. One was Cain and the other one was Abel. So they both gave of that. I kind of read that scripture this morning. So in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Okay, you read this in, Genesis chapter 3 or 4. And it says, so in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. While Abel brought portions to the first from the firstborn of his flock, and said, and the Lord looked on favor on Abel and his offering. Okay, but he had no regard for Cain and his offering. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. So here we've got Cain making an offering to the Lord and it was rejected. Here we have Abel making an offering to the Lord of his first fruits, the Bible says of his first fruits, you know, which I believe is a sign of Christ. But why was one rejected? Why was one accepted? They're both offerings. They both made offerings to the Lord. Why was one accepted? Why? Why was one rejected? Why? Is that unfair? Is God unfair? But I believe God is showing us, you know, Cain gave when he wanted to give, but Abel gave every time of his first fruits. And I believe that first fruit offering is so important to God, you know. So just put that on the shelf. So important, you know, our offerings. And God looks at our offering. God doesn't need our money, but he wants to see our heart. He wants a change of heart. As I said at the beginning, are we going to trust him? And I've seen some Christians that give. I've seen some Christians that don't give. But the Christians that give of their tithes and their offerings, I just see a blessing upon their lives. You know, I see some Christians that start to withhold finances, you know. And I said, I've heard all the sermons, and you know, we were watching God TV yesterday, and Linda goes, can you turn that off? It was just the guy went on for about, you know, 25 minutes, and it was annoying me. And I thought, no, I'm going to preach this message tomorrow. It nearly turned me off, you know. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And again, I've seen there's Christians that give, and I see the blessing of God and the finances, you know, upon their life. So it's an attitude of our heart. I'm coming to a close, but the Bible says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. I'll say that again so that gets into our heart. But it's an attitude that we must still have to have in our hearts. And a lot of us may have been through heartaches, tragedies, you know, disappointment, grief and sorrow. But there's still an attitude, you know, that we have to say and purpose in our hearts this morning. You know, some people may be here this morning and say, gee, Nigel, I was hoping that you'd give me a word. This is the word. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. And that's when Jonah, he offers up, you know, that thanksgiving, and God starts to bless him and puts him on to his next, we'll just change that, to his next destination. I've just shared that, so we'll go on. There we go, that. Just lastly, here we go. We had this lady, her name was Fay Ring, elderly lady. And one day we were setting up this slide. Her name, we used to call her Sister Faith. All the kids call Sister Faith. She didn't have the finger and all that. But she was a lovely lady. But Linda and I, we'd help her move house. We helped her buy a fridge. You know, we'd pick her up for Bible study. Sometimes we'd pick her up for church. Lovely lady. And one year, it was the end of, the end of year of our children's ministry. And we're setting up this big black water slide down in Balka Park, and we put the hose down there, and all the kids come sliding down, and copied it from some other youth groups what they've done. And Danny Gook used to do that, so I thought I'll do that, I'll try that. And as we're setting up, you know, doing that, all the kids, we'd give away bikes and sunglasses and t-shirts and everything like that. And as we're talking, I was hot, I was tired, it was a hot summer's day, like yesterday, about 5 o'clock in the evening. And for some reason, we're just sitting down, the kids were going home on their bikes, and there was one kid, he had about 8 pairs of glasses on his head, and only gave out one. I thought, what's he doing with about 8 pairs of glasses? And then he's selling them on the side street later as we're going home. But anyway, a bit of fun. But there was this one lady, and she started talking. I don't know how the subject came up as everyone was going. And she goes, oh, when I tithe, I give to Benny Hinn. And it was something, I love Benny Hinn, I like Benny Hinn, but when she said that, I'll be honest, that really, really irked me. And I thought, and I said to her, I didn't think I said that, and Linda's Nige, she's looking at me like this, Nige. And I said to her, next time you get a fridge, next time you want to move house, next time you want to be picked up for Bible study, you ring up Benny Hinn, you know, let him come here to Balga, Perth, let him fly out of the aeroplane, parachute down, and move your fridge, you know. But, you know, we had been giving week after week, month after month, year after year. But again, it's just, but I believe, again, the principle, this lady, she got it wrong. You tithe into the people that are feeding you. You sow into people that are feeding you. And I believe that's such an important, if you want to make an offering to some TV ministry somewhere, go for it. But I believe the tithe and the offering goes to people that are feeding you. Here we go. Wish this was working. But anyway, we'll come to a close. We'll go to the next one. But I believe, and I talk to a lot of people, you know, that come out of jail and, you know, drug rehabilitation. And, you know, there's a guy here today, Cody was supposed to come and, you know, something's happened and in rehab. But I speak to a lot of people, you know, in and out of jail. And I always say these three things, the three S's to restoration. We serve a ministry. We sow into another man's vineyard or his ministry or a lady's ministry. And we submit to authority. You know, I'm not with many rules. I'm a, you know, just a headliner. But I believe the three S's, you know, and I sit people down. If you want to be restored, number one, you serve in this ministry. We've traveled the world. You know, I thank God. But the reason I say that is because one day we started to pour cordial. I got my bus license to drive a bus for a children's pastor. You know, we served in a ministry. We sowed into another man's ministry. And you submit to authority. But I believe these are the three things to success. Even when things aren't going your way, I'll say it again. You serve that ministry. You sow into another man's vineyard or a church's vineyard, be it a man or a lady, and you submit to authority. And sometimes they'll tell you things that you don't want to hear, but they've got your best interests at heart. But I just want to close. There's many more things I can say, but let's just close. And I'd just like us to stand. I'm not going to pray or lay hands on anyone this morning. But I just feel, let the Holy Spirit have his way this morning. So just in closing, if we could just stand. Sister Rebecca's got a song for us. And I just want you to purpose in your heart, just before I hand back to Steve to close the service. But let's just purpose in our heart this morning. Lord, forgive me if my heart has gone cold, Father, in the area of the sacrifice of giving. Lord, forgive me. Let me have a change attitude, as Nige had that change of attitude with that $20 from that lady. Let's just turn it up, Rebecca, as we come to a close. But let's not rush this morning. Let's just purpose in our heart. You make that vow and declaration as Jonah did in the belly of the whale. Lord, I will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving. Be it financial, be it praise, be it time. Forgive me, Lord, if my heart has become cold. You do business with God this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's not rush this morning. You do business with God. Forgive me, Lord, if my heart has become cold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're good. Thank you. you do business with God this morning, where there needs to be confession and repentance. Lord, forgive me in this area, Father, of ungratefulness towards you, where I think, Lord, I know better than you do. Lord, forgive me, and I choose to trust you again, Lord. I choose to trust you. Lord, I'll only choose as I walk out that door this morning, I choose to trust you, Lord Jesus. I choose to trust the principles of your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.